Bible Teachings, Livings Forever. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with Bible Stories, Bible Teachings, Living Forever. The Bible does teach living forever. Everywhere in the Bible you find statements about immortality, about living forever, that we are born to live forever, that we are going to be reborn again in our attitudes, in our way of thinking, in our way of living, in our way of doing things. All the time, these conditions keep coming up and keep coming up. And all the time, we are taught that the presence, the power, the universality of all beingness is within each one of us. We are not taught that there is a heaven outside of us, and we are not taught that there is a hell outside of us. We are not taught that there is a presence and the God is with outside of us. Jesus said, the Father within. Now, our difficulty is that we find this difficult to believe. We find that we are all so human. Shakespeare spoke about it so beautifully so many times, but we are not oh so human. We are not bound up in this mortal coil. We are free to be whatever we want to be. And this is why it's up to us to be careful of what we read in the Bible and what we read in the writings of the people who write about the Bible, because there is only one aspect of Bible writing or Bible reading that's important to you and important to me, and that is to recognize that the Bible is within each one of us. The presence and the power is within each one of us. God is within each one of us. If God is within each one of us, as we are taught, then why do we look outward? Why do we look beyond that? The Bible teaches this living eternality, living forever, and teaches us to look within, to be that which we are. Science comes along today and confirms many of these things that the Bible has taught, but confirms it in a little different venue, in a little different direction, causing us to think that really we are something very special. We are something unique, something magnificent beyond words. We are an intelligence. We are an intelligence. We are a concept. We are a concept that neither is born nor dies, that neither expands in any way, changes in any way, always is, always was, and it's only our awareness of it. It's just like education or wisdom or knowledge. It always exists, always did exist, always will exist. The knowledge of today's scientists, the knowledge of today's sperm cell activity, was available to the pharaohs of ancient times. And some of the pharaohs of ancient times indeed knew all about it. And they followed it. And they lived in this consciousness. In fact, the writers of the Bible, the people, the pharaohs, Hebrews, the people who wrote the canons for the Hindus and all the other religious groups of the world, they all come up with similar stories and similar attitudes and similar statements because they all come up from one source. And that source is within us. Now, can you imagine that throughout the universe, all knowledge exists? It's like a blanket. And that blanket covers everything. And that blanket covers you, covers me, and I am that blanket, and you are that blanket. I am all knowledge, you are all knowledge. And I am all knowledge that is not yet revealed or unfolded, not yet shown to me, but it is there, and I have that available to me. I have that knowledge available to me the moment I want to reach out and take it. Now, you say, reach out and take it? That's right. The moment I want to look in my external world, everything that I am internally is out there. Everything out there is in me. Now, as I begin to utilize this knowledge, as I begin to trust it, magic happens. We were speaking at the table the other day about this very simplistic concept. And I said to Ellen, I said, Ellen, what year was this piece of music written? And so Ellen was about to say 35, but instead she said 39, which was her birth date, because that was her second thought, and she thought, ah, yes, my birthday. And then she said, oh, darn, 35 was what I thought. Now, she knew what it was. She knew what the correct answer was. She knew it, and she knew that she knew it. But she neglected or did not want to say it. And the reason that she did not want to say it was that she felt that 39 was her birth year, and that was what she wanted it to be. And I said to her, why didn't you say the first thought that came to your mind? Why didn't you reveal from within yourself that you did know it all? Why do you doubt yourself? Why do you place this sort of mistrust inside of yourself? And the reason that we place that mistrust inside of ourselves is that we really believe we don't know it. And because we believe we don't know it, we don't say what we do know. It's not that we don't know it. It's just that we don't believe that we know it. We want to start training ourselves today into the recognition that we do know everything, that we are all knowledge, that we are all wisdom, that we are immortal, that we are eternal, that we live forever, just as the Bible teaches. We live forever. And the more we put our attention on this, the more we realize that this is what we really are going through in our consciousness, the more that we'll experience that and know that. Do you want to believe that you are immortal? Do you want to believe that you are eternal? Do you want to believe that everything that ever could be, ever was, ever is known to you right now by your choice, if you wish? And the answer is, you don't want to believe it. The reason you don't want to believe it is that you have no application for it. You have no reason to think that it's so. Our scientists have no application for it either, because they use their techniques, they use their scientific program or scientific ability to study it to find out what things are. And this only points to the ultimate answer. When scientists, rather than pointing to the ultimate answer, believed that inner wisdom within them, they would speak the answer perfectly. Dr. Shafiq Karagula wrote a book on Breakthrough to Creativity, and in there, she had a bunch of her sensitives go with her to visit a number of doctors. And they would sit in the outer waiting room of the doctor, and as each patient would come in, they'd write down the patient's name as or description, and then they would write down what they, as a sensitive, determined was the problem with the patient. And then, after it was time for lunch, they would all go in and meet with the doctor, and one by one, they would go through their list, and they'd have the doctor tell from his diagnosis what the problem was, and they would show from their reading and their interpretation what the problem was. And in many instances, it was the same. But in many instances, it indicated a deeper and more perceptive problem than the doctor had even diagnosed, because he had not looked in that particular area. And when the doctor re-diagnosed the patient, he found that what the psychic or what the sensitive had said was correct. Now they listened, they had trained themselves to listen to the divine within, they trained themselves to listen to the divine within tell them what was the case with each of these individual patients coming to see the doctor. Now, that you say, oh, that's just one simple thing. Yes, that's one simple thing. But here we have this metaphysician, we have this psychiatrist, psychologist, this very eminent person, Dr. Shafiq Karagula, doing these programs, and Dr. Edgar Mitchell, in his work from space, what did he do? He worked with people back here on Apollo 14, and he spoke to them mentally through the ethers to give them points of view that he wanted to do. And they, in turn, wrote down what it was that was communicated. And then they communicated to him things that they were thinking, and he wrote down what they had. Now, can we believe these people? Do we think there were shenanigans going on? Do we think that they might have gotten together ahead of time and made some ideas of what they were going to share back and forth so that they wouldn't look too foolish? Well, they didn't have to look foolish, because only afterwards, when they revealed it, they revealed that it was very beneficial and very factual. And if they had found that it was not beneficial and not factual, they didn't have to even report their experiment. But they did, and they're reliable, responsible beings that are very, very notable. And the things they do are there. We do know everything. And it is a matter of training ourselves to be aware that we do know everything. We do have this immortality about us of all thought. There is one mind, one consciousness, one beingness, universal. And that consciousness, mind and beingness is in us as a readily available source of all that exists. How do we turn to that? How do we claim that? By practicing. Just as a sensitive came into the doctor's office and told them what they saw in the patients. How did they see it? They listened to the patients. People oftentimes say to me, Dr. Varley, when you give a lecture, you seem to speak right to the needs of the people. Many people come up afterwards and say, oh, I had this problem and you spoke right to it. I had this thought. This was in my consciousness and you spoke right to it. How wonderful that is. And indeed, I listen to the audience and I speak to them. I can only give them from my infinite storehouse of wisdom within me the knowledge that I am. I can only share with them who I am, what I believe, what my concepts are, what my attitude toward life is, as they can only share with me who they are. You see, these are things that are revealed to us. The Bible teaches living forever. Do we want to live forever? Do we want to realize that immortality is our reality? Do we want to realize that we are the oneness, the allness, and the nothingness? Huh? Strange words, aren't they? But wonderful. Do we want to start not believing it because we want to make it so, but believing it because it is so, and because we give it our attention, it reveals itself to us. Because we trust in what we hear, what we know, what we believe, and we say, that song was written 35 years ago. That is in 1935. And we will not say 1939. We will have this confidence in who we are. And this confidence will be verified in everything we do. We live in a pretty wonderful world. And the more we believe it, the more we are it. The more we practice it, the more we experience it. And it's pretty wonderful. It's pretty exciting. It's pretty great. Think on these things and practice them and put them to work in your mind. And let the miracles that you are be revealed through you right now in every way of your life. Because you're very wonderful. You're very powerful. You're very beautiful. And I love you with all my heart and soul and being. I love you. I love you. I love you.